This is Grand Finale, co-host of the Drive Time Radio Show, and you are listening to WGXC Agra, 90.7 FM and WGXC.org.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. Today we are going to hear brand new music from Ukraine. We'll also hear an interview with Dave Ellis of the Rensselaer Environmental Coalition about how the Rensselaer School District has voted to send a letter to the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation opposing the renewal of the permit for the Dunn C&D landfill in Rensselaer that's right next to the school. We'll also hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And it all begins after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
Controlled. On air, in air, channel, connection, and the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network, network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network, network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network.
WGXC underwriting support has been provided by Dedicated Presentation Solutions. Allow DPS to turn your audiovisual how-do-I's into here's how you cans. Visit dedicatedpresentation.com or call 845-475-8465 for more information. Dedicated Presentation Solutions, your audiovisual partner.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Tunstall Studio Publishing of Craryville, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. Natasha Von Holdridge reports for Columbia Green Media that a new state law will change the way absentee ballot voting works in New York. The changes are effective immediately in time for the June primary election. Under the new law, a voter who applies for an absentee ballot can only vote by absentee or affidavit ballot. They will not be permitted to vote on the machine, either during early voting or on election day. Quote, the law has changed, unquote, Columbia County Democratic Elections Commissioner Ken Dow said March 18th. Quote, so now, once a person has requested an absentee ballot, not even if they sent it in, just if they sent in an application for an absentee ballot, then they are no longer allowed to vote on the machine, unquote. He said the law will have an impact because quite often people request an absentee ballot and then, for one reason or another, don't use them. Under the previous law, even if a voter had asked for a paper ballot, they were still able to vote in person, Dow said. Quote, we're trying to make people aware that once they ask for an absentee ballot, they cannot vote on the machine. They can vote by affidavit, but really my guidance would be if you ask for an absentee ballot, you should send it in, unquote. Local boards of election officials are encouraging all voters to learn more and to understand the revisions to absentee voting before they apply to vote by absentee ballot. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
Ted Remsnyder at Columbia Green Media reports that Republican Jamie Heyer Mitchell and Jeffrey Holliday came back with absentee ballots to win seats on the Catskill Village Board. Election night totals have three candidates running on the Democrat and Action Party lines, leading for three spots on the Village Board, while those running on the Republican and Village Visions line were behind. But after 328 absentee ballots were added on March 17th, only one Democrat remained a winner, with incumbent Natasha Law at 500 votes. Heyer Mitchell won the second seat with 483 votes. Republican Diane Petronani March finished third with 461, and Democrat Megan Henry was fourth with 436 votes. In the contest for the other seat, a rematch from last year, Republican Jeffrey Holliday again beat Democrat Michelle Williams, this time 496 to 467. Last year, Williams led with 55% to 44% margin over Holliday when the unofficial results were announced on election night, virtually the same as this election. But after counting 265 absentee ballots last year, Holliday won 199 of them, giving the retired state trooper a 451 to 369 win over Williams. So this year, both candidates got more votes, and Williams pulled closer. Absentee ballots were also counted in Tannersville on March 17th, but they could not change the outcome. Republican Kimberly Thompson got one absentee ballot, and Democrat Mary Susan Timpson got the other, with Thompson winning 34 to 32 votes for the two-year term on the Tannersville Village Board. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
Tim Blydenberg is reporting for the Times Union that Albany County Executive Dan McCoy announced March 19th he has COVID-19 and is recovering at home. McCoy has been one of the most prominent local faces in the fight against the virus since the pandemic began. Quote, I have confirmed with my doctor that I have contracted COVID-19, unquote, he said. Quote, while I'm feeling under the weather, I'm thankful that I'm fully vaccinated and boosted because this very well could have been much worse. I am isolating and recovering at home, unquote. Just the day before, the county ran down the statistics for the disease, indicating that more than 62,600 people have contracted the coronavirus in Albany County since March 2020, with 46 new cases reported March 17th. The next day, McCoy reported the county's seven-day average of new daily positive cases rose from 29.5 to 33.1. Quote, it's moments like this that remind us that COVID is still not done with us yet, unquote, McCoy said. More than 81% of all Albany County residents have received at least the first dose of the vaccine, and 74% are fully vaccinated. The virus has killed 536 people in the county. In August 2020, McCoy told reporters he had antibodies from a bout of COVID-19 that he believes he contracted around the first of that year. He had an antibody test in May 2020 that revealed he had previously contracted the virus. Statewide, the number of hospitalizations was at 925, the lowest number since August 3rd, Governor Kathy Hochul's office said over the weekend. There were five deaths reported since March 18th. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
Andrea Mako reports in Porcupine Soup that four of the five members of the Town of Cairo's Board of Ethics Review resigned March 16th because of harassment and other reasons. Edward Brandt, John Vandenberg, Leonard Asaro and Monica Kenny Keff sent the town a letter outlining their problem. The letter says, and I quote, we have had town employees and community members spread falsehoods about us personally, and we have been harassed in ways, and we have received nothing but trouble for volunteering our time to attempt to help this town. We now understand why Greene County does not make it public who the members of the Greene County Board of Ethics are, end quote. The letter also cited, and I quote, some recent decisions some of the town board has made on different topics, end quote, without being specific. The resigning members said the town board would ignore the ethics board. The letter said, and I quote, we do not feel that any recommendations made or investigations concluded will be given any respect by the majority of this board or those who were perpetrating the harassing behavior towards the members, end quote. Mark Gorlick is now the only member of the Cairo Board of Ethics Review. Read more about this story in Porcupine Soup.
Heather Bellow reports for the Berkshire Eagle that Roger Cavanaugh, a West Stockbridge, Massachusetts Select Board member, has announced his resignation, citing frustration with what he calls, quote, inefficient, unquote, functioning and bias in town government. Cavanaugh made the announcement March 14th. That same day, he expressed dismay about what he said was a dismissive response by a town official to an inquiry by a resident and former board member. Cavanaugh will remain a board member until May 9th, the date of the annual town elections. He had 2 years remaining on his three-year term. Quote, I've learned that the town is slowly and not so quietly splitting into factions, one that wants everything to be like it used to be, and one that sees transformation as the only answer for the future, unquote, Cavanaugh said in a statement. Quote, I believe the select board needs to actively bridge that divide and ensure that the voices of both groups are heard and their collective needs are recognized, unquote. Cavanaugh's announcement comes after months of unrest last year about how the town handled the permitting for a performing arts space, the Foundry. Problems that included noise complaints exposed past, though inadvertent, negligence by the town and what Cavanaugh suggested is bias by town officials. Read more about this story in the Berkshire Eagle.
Deanna Garcia reports in Politico that former Governor Andrew Cuomo won't say if he will run for office again. Cuomo said March 17th in New York City, and I quote, I have a lot of options open, and I'm considering them, end quote. With $16 million in his campaign corpus in January, and Cuomo ads running on television, it seems like he's running for something. The State Board of Elections recently implied that he is. New York Board of Elections Chief Enforcement Counsel Michael L. Johnson wrote in response to a complaint filed by Good Governments over Cuomo's use of campaign funds since his resignation in August, and I quote, although former Governor Cuomo has not announced any explicit plan to run for a specific office, his conduct fits the definition of a candidate set forth in election law, end quote. While Cuomo did tease another go at electoral politics, he did not comment on the 11 women who accused him of sexual harassment, nor did he mention New York Comptroller Tom DiNapoli's report blaming him for a lack of transparency over COVID-19 deaths in the state nursing homes. Read more about this story in Politico.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website. WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
The National Weather Service in Albany predicts a sunny Monday with a high of 52 and a low around 30. They also predict a sunny Tuesday with a high of 50 and a low around 29. Then on Wednesday, there's a chance of snow showers in the morning, turning to rain as the day goes on. 60% chance of precipitation with a high of 45 and a low around 36. You're listening to the radio WGXC 90.7 FM Acre, Catskill, Hudson, radio for open ears. Monday, March 21st, tune in to all sorts of creative community voices on the radio at 90.7 FM, including Dave Ellis of the Rensselaer Environmental Coalition. He's on the WGXC Morning Show at 9 a.m., talking about how the Rensselaer City School District sent a letter to the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation opposing the renewal of the permit for the Dunn landfill that is right next to the school there. Then at 10 a.m., it's time to get on the Afrosonic Taxi with new tracks from Say George, Ajus de Brujo, and others. At 11 a.m., Brendan Donegan is playing favorites with the music of Nina Simone and Miles Davis live from the WGXC Hudson Studio in the basement of the First Presbyterian Church on Warren Street. At noon after the local news, it's time for the Deep Three Show with tracks from Matthew Shipp, Harold Budd, and the Orrin Evans Captain Black Big Band. Then there is brand new music from around the world at 2 p.m. on the Vital Weekly Show. This week, tracks from Machine Fabrique, Fazzini Quartet, and Isaiah Cetarelli. Then at 6 p.m. on All Together Now, it's time for the WGXC Congressional Report about what Representatives Antonio Delgado and Paul Tonko have been up to lately. And then at 8 p.m. and 10 p.m., we are live, first from ACRA with J.D. Eisman from Roundtop, his show The Spell. And then at 10 p.m., we've got comedy, discussion, music, and more live from Worthy Sound Works in Catskill with Nancy Giles and Carmen Borgia. The show's called The Mosquito, and it's on until midnight on WGXC 90.7 FM.
To get a local event mentioned on All Together Now, go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page, and copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
April is Jazz Appreciation Month, and the Hudson Area Library is celebrating with a performance from the Michael Benedict Jazz Vibes Quartet. That's Michael Benedict on vibraphone, John Leroy on keyboards, Mike Richmond on bass, and Andy Heron on drums. They are performing at the Hudson Area Library on April 2nd. That's it, from noon to 1 p.m. You can go to the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org for more information about this event or many other community events. And you can even add your own event there at wgxc.org.
Welcome to the video rental store in your mind.
Looking for something to watch, but feeling overwhelmed by all the options?
Feeling unsatisfied with all the boring, restrictive categories like romance and drama or horror?
Tune in to Dim the Lights with Jenny and Amanda every second and fourth Tuesday at 7 p.m. and get turned on to movie genres like eco-horror,
unsettling kids movies,
alien boyfriends,
creepy therapy.
Start listening so you can start watching today.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Monday, March 21st. 22% of the way through the year, 92 days left until summer because it is officially spring, everybody. Regional soil temperatures are showing it. They have reached the mid to upper 40s, and it won't be long before planting is safe. Early morning temperatures are on the low side, 33 in Red Falls and 39 in Athens. The day warms up a bit, hitting 54 degrees by 3 p.m. The afternoon will get a bit gusty with some increasing cloud cover. Overnight temperatures fall to 35 degrees, then bounce back up to 51 tomorrow around 4 p.m. Gusty winds and lower humidity will, however, put conditions in the chilly range. Overnight, a low of 30 degrees is expected before Wednesday rebounds a little to 43 degrees, with rain starting in the afternoon, continuing all night and all day on Thursday, which will have a high of 47. Pollen levels for today and tomorrow will be medium. Today's tide schedule is low tide at 12:01 a.m., then high tide at 5:40 a.m., low tide again at 12:31 p.m., and high tide again at 6 o'clock p.m. Today's river temperature will be 42 degrees. Sunset today will be at 6:54 p.m., sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:53 a.m. Looking way up, we see a coronal mass ejection is expected on Wednesday. Minor magnetic storms are expected. Solar wind speed is currently 305 kilometers per second at 7 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently poor below 4 megahertz till dark, then fair below 8 megahertz overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 3. Quiet. The current sunspot number is 39. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
The Spanish production duo LCC explored an arc of sonic tension between mining machinery and the wilderness for their De-Evolution album. And we'll hear a gem on the next Deep Threes. plus music from Estefest, the Checco Fornarelli Trio, and Corey Wallace. Deep Threes, music beyond boundaries for a digital world.
Tune in to Deep Threes after the noon news on Monday at WGXC 90.7 FM.
Wavefarm's WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Diane Moore of Copake, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Audio. Radio, audio, radio, audio, radio, audio, radio, audio, radio, audio. Radio. 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 Audio. Radio.
Call and do it. Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
What will be left of our cities in Ukraine after this terrible war?
With advances by the Russian military driving up casualties, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky addressed the Israeli parliament Sunday. Speaking through a translator, Zelensky questioned Israel's reluctance to sell its Iron Dome missile defense system to his nation.
The Ukrainians have made their choice 8 years ago. We saved Jews, and this is why the Israeli people now need to choose to make a similar decision.
Zelensky said he's ready to negotiate with Russian President Vladimir Putin, but cautioned that failed attempts at a truce between the countries could lead to a third world war. U.S. officials warn Russian steps that would limit travel by some civilians there could evolve into what amounts to concentration camps. As the first and only Ukrainian-American in Congress, Representative Victoria Spartz of Indiana argues that the U.S. and its allies have a responsibility to help.
Ukrainians fight in this war for all of us, for the peace in the world, for world order, and really, you know, their bastion right now of freedoms that they're on the front line.
President Joe Biden is expected to rally support for Ukraine when he meets with NATO this week in Belgium. The Securities and Exchange Commission is expected to propose new rules today that would require companies to disclose their contributions to greenhouse gas emissions. Many companies already acknowledge the impact of climate change, but some fear such mandates could leave them open to liability lawsuits. Confirmation hearings begin today for Supreme Court nominee Ketanji Brown Jackson, who could become the first black woman to sit on the nation's highest court. Senate Judiciary Chair Dick Durbin will preside over the hearings.
Just as impressive as Judge Jackson's record is her character and temperament. Humble, personable, she's dedicated herself to making our legal system more understandable and more accessible.
Durbin is also pushing back against accusations that Judge Jackson has been lenient on sentencing sex offenders, claiming the allegations are not credible. In election news, the New York Times found that under a restrictive new law, 18,000 Texas voters had mail-in ballots rejected during this month's primary. The Times found the rejections were most common in black neighborhoods. Missouri's election maps aren't ready. They've been delayed by redistricting battles, and the filing deadline for candidates is a week from tomorrow. Cape Girardeau County Election Supervisor Alan Seaball says right now, voters and candidates might not even know what district they're in.
We want to get changes made to our voter registration system so that all voters are assigned to the correct district so that whenever they go to vote on August 2nd, we know which ballot to give them in correlation to where they live.
Funeral arrangements haven't been announced for Alaska Congressman Don Young, who passed away late Friday. The 88-year-old Republican was the longest-serving member of Congress and was a strong advocate for the Trans-Alaska Pipeline. I'm Mary Sherman for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
We'll be right back.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
We're joined this morning by Dave Ellis, who's been one of the leaders in the community residents concerned about what is going on with the Dunn landfill in the city of Rensselaer. And Dave, I understand recently that the school board came out and has said something about the situation?
Yeah, so on Tuesday, March 15th, the Rensselaer City School District made a post on the school's website with a strongly worded letter of opposition against the Dunn landfill. And the entire school board is going to sign on to that letter, as well as other organizations within the school district opposing Dunn landfill's permit renewals. And that letter is going to go out to the New York State DEC. So this is a strong opportunity for opposition. And we really appreciate the efforts of Superintendent Kardash.
Now, of course, for listeners know that this landfill, construction, demolition, debris landfill, largest such landfill in the state, was located, right next to the school. And that was actually been one of the issues that people have been citing. How did DEC allow this to occur? But I believe also in the past, they've been fairly silent on the issue. In fact, at some point, the Dunn Company, it was actually given the school board money. So what's got the school to sort of, change their position, or at least become vocal on it?
Well, I really think that the school has heard loud and clear the opposition to this facility. They've heard from staff members, from students, from parents that are extremely concerned about the students and staff attending a school directly next to a landfill that, of course, has been the subject of rotten egg odors entering the school grounds on numerous occasions, I believe in 2019. And, so they're really understanding now with the permit up for renewal that it's extremely important that all, organizations, all community groups, all political organizations are all on board in opposition to this permit renewal to make sure this landfill does not continue operating, impacting the health and safety of the students and faculty and staff in the school district.
Well, you mentioned the permit renewal. Has DEC said that they're going to treat this more as a new application and sort of, start from scratch? Because I know, lots of people were sort of stunned that, in fact, DEC had allowed this thing to be located next to a school. So how is DEC actually treating this permit renewal, and where are you in the process of that?
Well, Basil Sagos, the head of DEC, originally stated that the application was going to be treated as new, leading to a full environmental review process, more public hearings, and more opportunity for comments, so DEC could get a feel of where the public stands on this dump issue. So they're getting everybody's viewpoints and taking that all into consideration. Right now, we're concerned that Dunn's application that they submitted seems to only be talking about a new process for a berm that they want to build next to the school. And it's ununderstood whether the entire application is going to be treated as new or just that berm. But we're lobbying for the entire application to be treated as new. And at this point in time, I can tell you that the application has been deemed incomplete because the DEC wants more information from Dunn as far as public justice hearings and opportunity for public input that was lacked in the initial application. And the Dunn facility has yet to respond to DEC's request to update that.
Well, unfortunately, these incomplete application determinations seem to be pretty standard for DEC. And I know, for instance, in the situation with the Norlite hazardous waste incinerators in Cohoes, they allowed them to take almost a year after the initial application was deemed incomplete before Norlite resubmitted it. And now they're taking another, 30, 60 days to evaluate whether the new application is complete. And meanwhile, of course, the polluter gets to continue to operate under the existing permit. Has the state DEC given a firm deadline to the Dunn landfill as when they have to actually complete the application?
I don't believe I've seen any deadline as far as a response from the Dunn Landfill to DEC. I can tell you, though, Mark, that I am extremely concerned that if DEC treats the entire application process as new, it's going to be a lengthy process for all these hearings and review from DEC. And I do know with the Norlite facility that they've been operating on expired permits for an extremely long period of time. And that's a concern for myself as well as other members of REC, that this facility, which the permit expires in July, may continue to operate with an expired permit. And we all know with driver's licenses, you are not supposed to operate a car with an expired driver's license. Yes, you can get away with it, but if you get caught, there's going to be harsh consequences. And unfortunately, it seems like in the eyes of DEC, that's not something that they do. They just allow polluters to operate on expired operating permits, and there's no consequence.
Now, I understand also that the state legislature, I think particularly Senator Breslin, has introduced legislation that would actually prohibit such landfills being located next to a school. Is that legislation moving at all? And since this landfill is already open, would it actually apply to the Dunn landfill situation even if a new law is adopted?
Well, sure. So Senator Neil Breslin in February of last year introduced legislation. It's Senate Bill number S4101, and it relates to the siting of solid waste management facilities next to schools. There's also similar legislation in the legislature, and you know that's not moving along as well. And this basically legislation.
Legislature, you mean also in the assembly?
Yes, in the assembly. I'm sorry, the assembly with Assemblyman John McDonald. So there's similar legislation out there. And both of these legislations bars permits from being issued for the siting of solid waste management facilities within a mile of a school. And we had our attorney further look into the provisions of these bills, and they would have an impact on Dunn.
So what needs to happen to make that bill move?
So right now they're both sitting in committee, and we spoke with Assemblyman McDonald, and he says because there's similar legislation already on file that basically the committees aren't moving the process forward. That's really concerning to the Rensselaer Environmental Coalition and our attorney, that they've been just sitting in committee for the last year and there's no movement at all. I really would like to see Assemblyman McDonald as well as Senator Breslin push these bills through. They need to be passed. They've been sitting for too long, and it's especially vital with this permit renewal up. And, you know, that's a concern as well for the school district. You know, these bills have just been sitting and they're not moving forward. Do these government officials, you know, on the state level really have the best interest of the children in mind with these bills if they're not, you know, if they're failing to move forward in this process?
So we have about 90 seconds left. Now, hopefully we're beginning to move towards spring and warmer weather. But that also means people are outdoors more often, windows are more open. I would assume that's not good for like things like odor and dust from this landfill. And I guess I'll just also, if people want to follow this information more, you guys have a website or something they can follow?
Yeah, so exactly. The odors we expect are going to come back, you know, in the warmer weather. And like the school district said, renewal of this permit, if it were renewed, it would be a clear indication that, you know, despite all of the evidence, the inevitable impacts to student, staff, and community would not be considered important. You know, so there's a very big concern that if this landfill continues operating, things are just going to get worse down the line. And again, people can find more information out by going to stopdunn.org and also Rensselaer Environmental Coalition on Facebook.
Well, thank you very much, Dave Ellis with the Rensselaer Environmental Coalition. And this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Catano Veloso with The Empty Boat on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.
the stem to the bow. Oh, my boat is empty. Yes, my heart is empty. From the hood to the heart. From the rudder to the sail. Oh, my boat is empty. Yes, my hand is empty. From the waist to the nail. From the ocean to the bay. Oh, the sand is clean. Oh, my mind is clean. From the night to the day. Stem to the bar. Oh, my boat is empty. Oh, my head is empty. From the nape to the brow. From the east to the west. Oh, the stream is long. Yes, my dream is wrong. From the past to the day. From the east to the west. Oh, the stream is long. Yes, my dream is long. From the past to the day. From the east to the west. Oh, the stream is long. From the birth to the death. From the east to the west. Oh, the stream is long. Yes, my dream is wrong. From the birth to the death. From the east to the west. Oh, the stream is long. From the birth to the death. From the east to the west. Oh, the stream is long. Yes, my dream is long. From the birth to the death. From the east to the west. Oh, the stream.
stated that absolute uniform motion cannot be detected. She also contended that the speed of light was independent of the motion of the source. And perhaps that's why Einstein's suits all looked the same. So it was in this man's world that Einstein went on to claim the fame for those theories of his wife. But it was in later years that Planck became very envious of Einstein, and it was at that point that he sold Einstein down the river in favor of the Central Committee. So in the Garden of Eden, or was that in the Garden of Eden? Anyways, there were these right-to-lifers going around saying, hey, what if Einstein's mother had had an abortion? Well, that's simple. We wouldn't have the atomic bomb.
But, I thought Einstein's theories were actually those of his wife.
Well, could it be that Pavlov's theories were actually those of his dog? Maybe Schrodinger, those of his cat? Louis Pasteur, those of his cow? Wilbur, those of his horse? Fred, those of Barney? I know. Freud's theories were actually those of his mother.